Good morning, everybody. I apologise for the live talk cutting short last night, but I don't know what happened. I kept talking and answering all the questions, thinking I'm doing a good job, and unfortunately the internet or something failed me. So anyway, I was starting into Deborah's question about her off the track thoroughbred, so I'll reread the question and kind of start all over again. Hi Mark, I've recently purchased a 5-year-old off the track thoroughbred, never been raced, only trialled. Lucky for you, only trialled, because only a short time, under pressure, because some of the horses that have had a lot of time on the track can be a little bit more difficult to change. So yeah, only trialled sounds good, that the horse is still in its infancy. I don't have a lot of experience retraining off the track thoroughbreds and kind of feel a little bit lost where to start. My trainer is helping me, but I would like to do more things on my own. We've done some groundwork, ridden work, and he's very willing and motivated. Would you be able to give some pointers as to what things to work on? Also, what are some things I could do to get him used to the resident donkey? He's so terrified. He's quite spooky being a young, inexperienced horse. Okay, so I think I sort of answered a bit of the donkey question, but I'll go back to that and start again for people who just come on, sort of straight away on this. With the donkey, you could have him paddocked at a little bit of a distance so he can sort of see the donkey and be aware of it, but have enough distance from it that he's not, too threatened by it. And over time, you can sort of gradually get them a little closer together through how they're paddocked. That's one way of sort of, rating the amount of exposure he has and slowly bringing them closer. That's one way you could do it. But another way is you could help him so we can intervene, in the sense of sometimes throwing them together is, not a great idea, because some horses can be so petrified of something, and if that other thing is interested in the horse and keeps kind of pestering, and then you can fry the horse a little. I'm not saying, that's always going to happen, but that can happen. So basically, what you could do is I would just get a helper or a friend or something, and I don't know if the donkey's halter started or something, but you could take the donkey and lead the donkey. Someone can lead the donkey, and then you could lead your horse and slowly just follow the donkey at a distance, because it's like when I was training a lot of horses, and I'd ride these young sort of sensitive horses out. I used to have a couple of dogs, and we used to catch wild goats and stuff, and if I had a young dog and I was thinking about the horse too much and I wasn't thinking about the dog, and the dog would slip off, because we also bred sheep and goats that we used to catch the goats, and they'd slip off and pick up a mob of goats, and next minute there's a mob of goats coming towards the horse, and that was kind of red zone straight away. So but if I wanted to get these horses that were wary of livestock, whether it's cattle, sheep, goats, anything, what you're going to do is you're going to follow, and if whatever that other scary thing's going away, you'll build more confidence in your horse. So if you could get someone to lead the donkey and just follow him, follow like you would, and slowly get closer as he gets a little interested. So as he starts to reach out and look, I'm interested in that. But don't let the donkey come towards the horse till the horse has got a little closer and kind of started to understand. And then slowly let the horse come in on the donkey and have some sort of control over the donkey. Because the last thing you want is the donkey cantering up the horse, cantering up the horse, hee-hawing, and sort of, spooking him too much. So yeah, you just slowly build on that. Regarding the training that you're doing, he's a motivated horse. So motivated, is an interesting word. Willing and motivated. Willing to me means a horse that's kind of curious, interested, searches. That's a willing horse. Now, a willing soft horse is a horse that's willing, interested, but it's calm and connected and doesn't carry anxiety. Sometimes motivated, is a word that we use, and sometimes motivated is a, and a lot of thoroughbreds are motivated. There, if you're gonna go and demonstrate some horsemanship, like if I wanted to go and demonstrate to somebody horsemanship on a green horse, then I'd get an Arab or a thoroughbred, especially if it was a horse that hadn't done anything, okay? Because they've got a certain level of awareness, and it is often stemmed by a certain amount of anxiety sometimes, but they're aware, they're searching, they've got a lot of movement and flow, because they're not kind of like, I'm just going to sort of stand here. And so they're easy to move, and they feel kind of motivated, so it's very easy to present good ideas to them that help them, because they're constantly searching. So that's why if you were sort of, just had a small amount of time to show somebody something, you'd use a hotter-blooded, more aware horse, because they're seeking, searching. All you got to do is provide the pathways to help them out, whereas a horse that's not motivated just kind of, they're the ones that kind of shut down a little bit quicker than the others, and they kind of, or the ones that are just kind of, really quiet, and they just don't really feel like doing much at all, because they're pretty calm in their own environment. Some overly calm horses don't feel the need to do anything, so it feels like we've got to stimulate them all the time. So anyway, before I get off track too much on that, that's why these hotter blooded and horses are nice to work with, is because of that level of awareness. But remember, awareness can come with a certain level of anxiety. So what happens to these hotter blooded horses if we don't start to channel their anxiety and make them feel calm and centered with us, then basically that's where the wheels start to fall off, and you see all these horses that have got their eyes out on sticks, and especially the ones that have been raced for a long time in a high octane environment with not a lot of understanding for how they're feeling, and that come out really cooked. But people just riding hot-blooded horses on trail rides can cook them pretty easy too, even if they never saw a racetrack. So we have to be very careful. So basically, what you're going to have to do when you're working with him, whether it be on the ground and under saddle, is just keep an eye on his thoughts and his level of interest in you. So basically, I encourage everybody to, when they work their horses, to guide their horses opposed to, moving around a lot with energy, especially those horses that that have a lot of energy already, and when you say motivated, I'm guessing that he's a fairly free moving sort of horse. So yeah, but with an off the track horse, or any horse that comes to me that needs proper education, my first priority is to teach it what it needs to know. There's people sometimes do with our horses what we want to do. We want to do this, we'd love to do that. What do they need to know? Okay, so what your horse needs to know is how to lead nicely, softly, understand pressure. Pressure is something that usually puts a lot of horses in a mental trap, and it's the one thing at clinics I'm constantly helping with, whether it's pressure from the reins, how they're leading, pressure from the legs, that constricting pressure of different things that make horses feel trapped, and a lot of embrace and things like that. So with an off-the-track horse like him, I'd really try and get the leading good so it transfers into the reins. So lots of soft leading, lowering the head while he's leading so he's really comfortable at loosening up, stepping forward to the lead so he's soft and he can move freely, forwards into backup. All those sorts of things are going to be really good. And also, little bits so that you can sort of put a flag in front of him and he can push back and get a little nervous, but then all of a sudden the feel of the lead's there and he knows to come forward and doesn't pull back too much. You can't do enough of that to help horses in head pressure, because they're going to spend their whole life, with someone that's going to hold them, whether you keep owning him, whether you own him forever or someone else takes him on, or a vet's got to come, or a dentist or anything. You're going to go and chuck a holder on him, tie him up somewhere. So the leading is something that's underdone. I help a lot of horses at clinics, and even my own horses, if I'm not thinking about it, the leading's kind of underdone if I don't go out and make a point of saying, I've really got to, every time I pick up a lead rope on this horse, I've got to think about how the horse is travelling in it, if it's connected with it. I would do a lot of that. And when you're leading, it's not just about you energising and the horse trotting with you. It's about, you could be at a slow walk and just lead that horse past at a trot, because he feels the weight of that lead pick up and he's happy to travel with it. and because those sensitive kind of horses will start to pay attention to all your body language. So when you're doing leading lessons, don't be careful you're not overdoing the body language. Get the leading right first, and then if you still want to go and do liberty stuff, that's fine. You won't, the horse, he'll still pick up on body language. It's just while they're learning to lead, and also while I'm teaching horses to steer, sometimes with the reins, I'm fairly neutral, so the horse knows exactly what to do without any other body input. So it's really understanding the reins and the halter lead rope really well. So I'd kind of sort of structure, my groundwork on that sort of stuff, without explaining how to do lots of different types of groundwork, because you've got, if you've seen some of my videos and stuff, you've probably got ideas how to, try things on the ground. But the connection side of it, make sure he's connected. Like I talked about the others, how to catch your horse, how you approach him in the paddock, all that sort of stuff is going to keep him connected, and you're going to listen to him and all that sort of stuff, so he's going to feel safe with you. The other thing is practice being that tree in that center. So he's going to get a little anxious in situations, and that's where you grow your roots, your center, and the horse will feel that and start to center and connect with you and feel a lot better. In the riding department, on these horses that, we sometimes go too quickly. The biggest thing I've seen with an off-the-track horse is it's a good prospect for a little show horse or something like that. So people go and buy off-the-track horse thinking they're going to turn it into a limousine show horse. Now, you have to be very careful, because most horses I see have been taught too much too soon, and they didn't have enough understanding. So I would highly encourage doing the basics. Can he move forward freely off the legs? Can he hold a walk? Can he hold a trot? What I mean hold is you don't have to keep kicking him along all the time. Well, I don't want you to keep kicking him along all the time. Like you say, squeeze and go. Okay. The other thing is, can he steer good? Can you pick up a feel of an inside rein, and he starts to flick an ear, get a little interest, think, and start to turn? Okay. So sometimes we end up going around in circles and figure eights and things like that, training our horse and warming it up. And whereas I believe young horses should be ridden knowing the accelerator and steering. So that means corners and straight lines. They find their own straight line when we centre the reins. If they don't find their own straight line, we just pick up a feel, redirect them until they start to find straight, when we just hang ourselves and the reins centred and straight. And you take the reins out of commission when you're not steering, and then you put them in commission when you're steering. So the horse gets interested in the rein. If you keep moving around, just steering circles and stuff like that, and they'll start to lose interest in the reins and start to brace up a fair bit sometimes. So yeah, keep them interested in the reins. The other thing, so steering, lots of backing. So that backing that you did on the ground, that you do on the ground, under saddle, soft walk into a backup. Soft walk into a backup, okay? If you feel your horse getting a little out there and disconnected, well, you've got a steering wheel, just steer him around in a new direction, loosen center, here I am, okay? And make that one of your first priorities, that, when he gets up there and disconnected and his thoughts go, steer, here I am, connect, feel good here. Make that a habit, that when he gets a little anxious, you can help him. So don't overdo things, keep it simple, one thing at a time for a fair while. And I think you can make some good progress on them. And then when they start to know how to steer, how to back softly, then you can start to put some stops in there, and you can start to use reins to help advance the steering, But for now, quality forward, quality backwards, quality left, quality right, and also left, so you could almost do a U-E and go that way and he's not bothered by it, and he's really happy to follow those reins. A lot of little transitions like that. And recognize when he's disconnected. That's one of the biggest things too. So, yeah. Bridget. Hello, Mark. Thank you for your advice on the last question and answer. I have another question regarding my very green mare, the one that I have had a little trouble with forward motion. I've been practicing riding her mostly in the direction that she would like to be travelling in. She will move out at a nice walk and sometimes trot in that direction. The problem that I'm encountering is that she always seems to want to go places that can be possibly dangerous to me and her. When I pick up on the rein to say that door's closed, try again, she usually stops completely and then will not want to move in any other direction except the direction she wants to go. Is there some exercises that I can do with her in a small round pen to help me communicate with her when we are out in a larger space? Just on that question, her desire is still at the yards or where she wants to be. So the only way she's getting motivated is, I'll just close that door behind me for a second. The only way she's getting motivated is through going to where she wants to go. And that's how sometimes I teach horses to, you know, get used to the accelerator is go where you want to go. And then soon after a while of going there and ending up there, they soon quit on that idea. Now, some people would say just make it hard there, but a horse like her, you're going to try and do stuff there and she's going to get stuck and just, you know, bogged down like that by the sounds of what you're talking about. So be very careful with that. There's a lesson that I do, and it's not that easy, but if you kind of, you'll understand it once you kind of start to do it, is I try and teach a horse to walk away from where it wants to be without the legs, and then I speed it up to where it wants to be so I can improve the acceleration. What I mean is I'm helping the horse learn how to accelerate, so that's why a horse like yours, you're not going to teach it how to accelerate softly away from home until, or away from the magnet, until the magnet disappears. Once the magnet disappears, you can ride in any direction equally. That's the idea of trying to dissipate the magnet. But what I would tend to think about doing is, if she gets a little stuck near where she wants to be, then in the round yard you can do this. It might be a little tricky. It's because she might be a very unmotivated mare, so that's why going towards home motivates her a little bit, and that's why we trial that sort of stuff. But eventually, if they're still locked on home and it's not working well, you're going to have to get them seeking a new direction. But something I would start to teach her in the round yard before you teach her out somewhere else is how just to free up her feet in the reins, free up her mind and feet. So what I mean by that is you pick up a rein and say you're in the round yard, you say go, and she just goes, right? So you can trial this a little bit first. I'm in a round yard, I'm not even going to touch the reins. And just experiment with her and just hang onto the saddle, sit up there like a tourist on a beach ride or a Grand Canyon donkey ride, and just sit up there and just bump your legs on the side until she moves, and then just sit quietly when she moves. Don't do anything, don't control the direction, don't do anything. Now, when she stops, just do the same again. Bump your legs until she goes. And then she might only walk one step, but as soon as she stops, you just say, again, until she's responsible for walking, and just teach her to walk. She can walk where she wants. Now, if that doesn't work and she just gets stuck and you start bumping and then bumping with a fair bit of pressure, and she just pins her ears and goes, I'm not going to go anywhere, I just want to stand at the gate, then another lesson would be to free her up in the reins. So basically, and of course she's resisting the reins, you could do both of these, okay? I would tend to let, you know, get there in the round yard, and when she gets a little stuck at the gate, at the round yard gate or something like that, you just take it, rein, turn, take it and turn, like turn her head like that. Now, if she's been taught lateral flexion, she might give around here like this and just go, yeah, well, what are you going to do now? And a lot of people kind of think, well, see, my horse bends, but I still can't move. And it's like, well, if you release the pressure when her head's bent all the way around, then she's sort of done what she has to do. She doesn't feel like she has to move. But if you don't release the pressure on the rein, when she gets her head all the way around, she's going to go, hang on a minute, that didn't release the pressure. And she's going to start to maybe fight and push and search a little. And she's going to go, hang on. And then maybe at that time, you could add a little bump at the same time. And she'll kind of release a little bit, whether it's out through the hip or whatever. She'll release her feet and move a little. And then you'll loosen up and say, thanks. And then you'll, on a loose rein, you'll go, bump, bump, bump. And she'll go, or something like that. If she does that, you just go, well, let's turn over here, change that thought. And if she just doesn't move and stands, you just hold the rein. She's going to keep bending, but you keep a little pressure on it until she goes, that's not working. Bump, bump, bump. She'll move, and you let off, and then you say, let's try again. Until basically she'll find the path of least resistance and realize that, you know, she's either got to follow that rein out and walk off, because when she gets stuck, she just can't stay stuck there. So, yeah, there is a little more pressure in there when she gets stuck, but she's got to try and find a way to free herself up in that situation. Now, one of the things you've got to be careful of when you hold onto that rein is if she's, like, fighting and panicking because she's always used to the rein releasing when she bends her head and suddenly she goes, hang on a minute, I can't release in the feet, and fights a little, then you've got to let off a little so she doesn't just get herself in a bind and you know, start to try and rear up or lose balance or anything like that. So you've got to be a little careful with that. But basically, there'll be a stage there that you take her out of the round yard and she'll get a little stuck and you'll just say, steer, thank you. And then, and she'll start to learn that she can walk off and walk and steer off with the rein. And then you just have her in that little bind and see how she goes at finding a way out of it. And then basically you've got to do a lot less. The biggest thing is people ask me for help, but when I help them, I might give them a bunch of things to do or, you know, a couple of things to do. But when I see them ride, they're micromanaging, even with the things that I taught them to do or told them to do. So if, you know, she's got to move herself, you don't intervene until she stops. Okay. And don't even worry about her stopping, just allow her to stop. And then, so she really knows the path of least resistance. That's really important. So yeah, Bridget, I hope that gives you a little bit of help there and see how you go with it. You know, offering you too many things without sort of clear guidance where I'm actually sort of helping you directly sometimes can be a little difficult. So just try that and yeah, hopefully you'll make a difference. Megan, Mr. Milo, if you have time for another question, well, I do because I've started a new question because it's like fresh. Milo will reef his head forward and down early in our riding session. So early, I'm guessing you're meaning, yeah, when he's first at the start of the lesson, he's like, oh, righto, and then he starts to sharpen up. Just after your ideas on what to do when he does this, I feel like I'm reeling in a fish when I have to bring his head back up and change his thoughts with a new activity, change direction, back up, etc. It usually only happens a few times until he turns his brain on. Okay, so when you ride him, you can turn his brain on a little bit. I actually answered your question last night. I'm going to answer it the same, but I'm a bit more. I've thought about it a little bit too after answering it last night. And there are other couple of things you can do too. But you can wake him up a little before you use the reins, which means you could just sit on him and bump your legs a little, get him thinking, and just like almost like you don't want him to go forward. He goes, "Oh, what are you doing?" And then you might pick up a little feel on him and back him up and get him a little alert for at the start of the lesson before you put feel on him. But basically, I'm going to answer most of it how I answered it. Is be very thoughtful and mindful and know that he may do it. Don't anticipate that he's going to do it, but have it in there that there's chances are he may do this. You're not going to, you know, holding the reins in a certain way doesn't affect, you know, if a horse reefs or a horse doesn't reef, to me, it doesn't really matter. The horse still gets the same feeling, as in, if I pick up a feel and the horse responds, then the horse did what I wanted to do. But if I pick up a feel and it reefs, door's closed. So he's got to find his own pressure. So just do a lesson structured on knowing that he may reef, and just get him alert in the reins. When you hold the reins, hold them a little higher. So pick up a little feel. So the feel comes in nice and smooth, so the weight of the rein picks up. He's going to go, and you go, that's not working, and just pick your hands up. And he'll go, oh, that didn't work. Now, you don't want to let him get down there and have to reel him in like a fish. So you've got to be pretty quick to say, that's not going to work down there. And he's going to go, oh. And because of the angle of the bit, it's going to be upwards a little bit on him, so he's going to go, oh, I'll, you know, hopefully come up a little bit. And then every time you pick up a rein, whether it's for a backup, for turning, anything like that, you pick up with a feel and an intention, and then if they create their own pressure, they create their own pressure. And yeah, be more organized in yourself So you know that may happen, so you can kind of, instead of letting him get reef out on you and then have to reel him back in, you're kind of ready. And if you're using the reins and you're aware, he'll start to quit on it because it's not working. It created some more pressure. And he goes, well, that didn't work. And then he'll get to the part of the lesson where he wakes up a little. Sometimes if he's really kind of, another lesson you could practice is creating a little energy and letting him walk up into the feel of the reins and then saying, don't push, and then back off, and then a little bit of energy. So you pick up the feel of the reins first, just the weight of them. So he knows, well, the boundary's there somewhere and the reins are there. Add a little energy and he'll either walk into them and reef, or he might just pick up and go, oh, I might pick up and back up a little. That's another one you could practice some, but you've got to be careful you've not got a lot of pressure when you add a little bit of energy to him, and that's getting him to walk up into pressure or find his way backwards. And then he's got to search. He creates his own pressure when he walks and reefs, and you just say, door closed, back up. And that's another good one that I do with horses that kind of tend to push, is you create a bit of a desire to push if it's still in them, and then you say, well, that's not working, come back. And at all times they're creating their own pressure. If you're just pooking on the rein steer and pulling him back and things like that, then horses, when you loosen up or they get opportunities and they feel a bit of freedom there, they'll just start to reef out again. So, yeah, just try that, Megan, and I think you might sort of have, you know, just as long as I think you're aware, you know, you're aware about it. You know, sometimes we get on and we go, oh, there's that reef again. But if you're aware of it and you're kind of ready for it, then it doesn't get too fast, like horses that eat grass, you know. If they get that bit of grass, then next time they're going to have another crack at it. But if they realise that that's not working and you redirect them or whatever you do, before they get the grass in, after a while they'll stop trying, because that door will close in their mind. They'll go, no, well, that's not working, so I can be happy about riding instead of thinking about grass. Stella, another question, if there's time. How to draw a horse in that may not have had positive experiences with people. A horse that looks at people as a cause for pressure and anxiety, which is a very common thing, Stella. There's a lot of horses that see people just as the provider of anxiety and pressure, and the way we present ourselves in education, it's very important to have a positive-minded horse. A horse that may want to come in but is scared, and past experience has shown the horse there is a reason for them to feel this way. Could this be a real situation, or is the person drawing the horse in a missing step in the process? I understand your question a lot more now. Last night I must have been a bit hazy in the mind. I've read it as clear as glass now. I exactly know what you mean. So basically, yes, the horses, they're interested and curious and they want to go towards their focus. So their focus might be on the person, and know where they're worried. They want to be in on that person and center with them, but they have trouble because they're nervous of what's going to happen to them. So basically, when you draw, you know, basically there'll be times that you put a bit of draw in your body. So when your horse is going around, you put a bit of draw in your body. When that horse is interested, then take a little pressure off and walk away. Just walk away from it, turn around, walk away, walk off, and let it go, where'd you go? And it'll be looking for you. So you take all that presence of I'm going to do something or direct you or whatever out of your body, and then just when you're around it, every time it looks at you, just draw away, walk away from it. And just in a round yard or something like that, just, you know, don't push on it so much. And sometimes what I do is I just walk around the back of them, around, and when they look around at me, I just, well, thanks, walk away, and I walk off until they start to go, oh, yeah, right, where are you going? And they get a little interested, and that's putting a little draw in them in a natural, just calm environment. And then what you can do is I would, you know, maybe not, you know, if you're starting to educate it a little bit, well, I would use a rope before I'd use liberty. And people say, why would you use a rope before liberty work? Well, when people do liberty to a horse to send it somewhere, it's very hard for them not to. It's not impossible. It can be done. But that's why I encourage people to lead a horse out, because it's very easy for them just to go start pushing their horse out a lot at liberty. So if they really thought about it, they could get their horse to think out and then very carefully walk out. But to explain it and hold your hand through that, I'd be wary of offering it because it's a little difficult. And I'm not saying you can't do it, I'm just saying to talk about it and do it, and then you go and go, what was Mark explaining, would be a little difficult. So what I'm going to say is just on a lead rope and holder, if you've done that little bit of work on pressure and release, as in you're walking around, the horse gets a little nervous, but you're not putting a lot of pressure on or anything, but it looks for you, you walk away, you draw, you just walk away and get it interested. And then when you got it on the lead, you walk it past you or something on a lead, send it out a little, and then you put a little feel on it, and then when the horse starts to look, you walk away and take it for a little walk and let it follow you. So then looking for you was a good thing, and it got to follow you, so there's a purpose at the end of the rein, not just to look at you and go, yeah, what do you want now? It was, come with me for a little bit, we'll go for a little walk. And then after that little walk where the horse has followed you, you stop and you let it come sort of fairly close, and you just stand with it and maybe just let it sniff and just let it feel okay and just really relax your energy and say, yeah, we're just standing here together. And then the horse will start to put more trust in you and say, oh, this is okay, I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to, and then after a while, when it gets confidence and coming, straightening out, then you could just turn around and redirect it the other direction and it wouldn't bother it so much. But yeah, that's, yeah, you can, you, yeah, you're definitely right by saying it. They want, they're interested, but they're frightened. So Briar, how do you manage nippy bitey behaviour? My horse has started doing this sometimes when brushing and saddling. It's not a major biting. It's not major biting. He just comes around with a bad expression at me. He doesn't even do it every time. I don't think he saw and it's saddle fit. Due to the lockdown in New Zealand, we have been riding him most days in the arena, which is more than I would normally do. Haven't been able to take him out on trail for weeks. He's going lovely when I do groundwork or riding. Have tried pushing his head back to the front, make no big deal, slow down, let him run into my elbow, spend the time just connecting at liberty, asking nothing of him. Worked. Now, worked, is it, did it fix the biting? Or I guess not. I guess it just worked that he felt okay. I guess he's over it. All the same thing. Love to hear your thoughts on it. The bubble happens when you. Thanks, Bri. Yeah, I hope everything settles down a little bit to get. I hope because Australia and New Zealand's well set up at the moment with our COVID cases. I think we can, hopefully open up borders at some stage between the two countries. Be just like the one country, Australia and New Zealand. We're all just the same country, aren't we? But yeah, because I really enjoyed it over there, and I'd love to do some clinics over there. And yeah, we have got some booked in, for the end of the year. So yeah, So when horses get a bit of a habit, they don't like something and they're a bit funny about it. So I had a little sensitive mare. I'm going to start with this first. And I had a friend of ours that she was really into her mutual grooming, and she encouraged me to sort of do more of it. And I must admit, I got in my own little habit with horses of being too busy all the time. I'm always chasing my tail doing jobs, I didn't get that job done, I got to get that job done, and whether it's bad management or something or whatever. But anyway, so when I was training horses full time, it was like I was trying to educate them in a way that they felt okay about, but then I kind of didn't allow enough time or didn't put enough time into the things that the horse needs that didn't require to do anything, I suppose. So that's what I did. So I'd let them go. I'd give them a bit of a, rub or whatever, but I wouldn't sort of say, hey, why don't we just have a scratch and just really enjoy that for a while? Because I kind of, that sort of time was, I couldn't afford that time because I had to get to the next horse. But it's very valuable, and I had a sensitive mare that was kind of girthy, all those sorts of things, and would go down the narky side of it and things like that, but nervous narky kind of thing. So that's where the mutual grooming and stuff really can come into its element. It comes into its element in a lot of things, but it's not going to fix some training problems. But it helps the horse realize that you touching it can feel good. And then you can sort of start to take where the good area where the horse likes. It might only have one spot that it's comfortable with to start with, but you can actually create a whole area where that horse likes getting rubbed and things like that. And that's one thing you can look at. It's just one avenue. Like some people think there's the be all and end all, but there's one avenue. You've got to take a holistic approach. So that could help us starting with a sensitive, a nice spot, and then slowly the areas where girth and brush and things like that become something that the horse enjoys getting brushed and things like that. As long as it doesn't sort of get to a stage that it's trying to, move around and give me more, that it gets, it becomes something that's taking a certain amount of the obedience needed to saddle out of your horse. The other thing is, when the horse is distracted or thinking elsewhere, or just if you think it's blocking out a little, don't girth it. Make sure it's thinking on that side that you're standing on, thinking and soft and connected. So work on that connection, pick up a little feel of the inside rein or whatever, get it to look around, think, and then go back to the slow for a little bit. So I will say to the slow for everyone, and I don't know how you did the slow, you just said slow, but pick up a little girth. If the horse gets a little anxious looking or cranky looking, you kind of you hold a little. So anxious, you'd take off a little bit hard in the expression, I'd probably hold a little. And then when the horse softened the expression, I'd let the girth off, and then I'd slowly girth it like that for a while, and just see if over time, by just listening to it, how it feels on that, it might start to get a little softer and better with it. The other thing you could try is when you've got its attention there and you're going to start girthing or whatever, is you could have a little flag in your hand or something, and just when the thought gets a little hard, you just pop, and the horse will go, "What was that?" The expression will change. The horse might get a little interested in you. You make it feel okay, and then you go back to doing what you were doing, whether it be brushing or girthing, and just change that thought. Just change that thought. Thank you. And soften a little. Give your horse a bit of time. Don't just go straight back and smother it with the girth or the brush. And just go again. If the horse hardens, change that thought. But don't sort of overpressure it that it starts to just go, "Oh, just be obedient." Then you don't want that. You just want it to sort of distract that hard thought and see if that works, especially if that hard thought's a nippiness. So if it's a nip and things like that that's come around, the horse getting nippy, that's when you go, change that, and it'll go, "Oh, reset," and then things will be fine. It's when you overdo the push away, sometimes pushing them away and bumping in the elbow, things like that. If it's a nippy horse, it gets a bit like that. It can just provoke more of an interest to do that, because some horses, especially, well, more so, horses that want to play fight, like the geldings and colts and stuff, you start to sort of push on nippy behavior, and that's like, "Well, you want to have a play." Okay, so that can happen. Yeah. Anyway, Briar, hope those thoughts help. And yeah, thanks everybody. And sorry we cut it short last night. It wasn't my fault. It was the computer. But anyway, I'm glad to be able to get all the questions done now. Hope it helps. See you later.